Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go!
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, sent Gretzky in. 3-0, Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
Well, hi again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller. Tonight, coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens. We're going to talk about that as the night progresses. Again, special thanks to Paul Pfeiffer and Chris and his complete staff up here for the hospitality today, along with Justin Gifford to visit Lenawee. Again, great atmosphere, very festive. We'll talk about it as the night moves on, again, right here at Hidden Lake Gardens. I got to tell you, from Tecumseh, Cabela's took me about 15 minutes. So a short trip up Route 50 westbound. Again, my name's Mike Miller, coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens, Michigan State University complex. Glad to have you on board. Speaking of universities, at 5:15 tonight, Brian Buckey will join us, University of Toledo beat writer for the Blade. Of course, the University of Toledo Rockets, Saturday at noon, they will take on Akron for the MAC championship, Toledo's last MAC championship, 2004. By the way, Akron won it in 2005. So University of Toledo Rocket football coming up at 5:15 tonight. Then at 5:35, Angelique Shangelis will join us, beat writer, Detroit News. She writes University of Michigan sports. She also has a book out, Michigan Man, Jim Harbaugh, and the Rebirth of Wolverine football. Not so fast, as I look at Paul Pfeiffer's business card here with that big Michigan State University logo on it. I'll tell you what, Mr. Harbaugh now is 1-5 against both Michigan State and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Again, everybody, coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens. A lot of great things on schedule and on tap. We'll talk about that as the night moves on. Just a couple of notes here in the commentary. Matt Campbell, congratulations to him. Former University of Toledo coach, has just signed a 6-year deal with Iowa State. Of course, his name has come up in almost every job that is available. A lot of them not public. A lot of things going on, you know, behind the scenes. I know he had a $9.5 million buyout situation. Not only did Matt Campbell jump from $2.1 million a year to over $3 million, all of his assistants got a raise as well. I mean, I think the crowning jewel this year for Matt Campbell beat two teams in the top six, TCU and Oklahoma. So hats off to him. He'll be at Iowa State for the next 6 years. I'm sure there's a buyout attached to that. But, again, congratulations to Matt Campbell. Also, sorry to read today about Alden Hirschfeld, Sylvania, Ohio native, captain of the Toledo Walleye. He went down with a knee injury. Been a tough stretch. Of course, he had brain surgery last year, recovered, back in the lineup, well liked by his teammates, the coaching staff, and the fans. We're wishing the best again, Alden Hirschfeld. You know, I got talking about this last year, as good as the Walleye were. That's why you want to win the thing last year, because this is a team. That's why it was disappointing. To most eyes, they were the best team in the ECHL. They got beat. They didn't win it. Of course, again, the Colorado Eagles win it. So you're retooling, you're rebuilding, you're tweaking. But if you don't win it, these are the type of things that you run into. Injuries. You never know what's on the horizon in hockey. That's not to say that the Walleye won't rebound and, you know, patch up some holes there. Tiger Woods, he's back in action. He'll play Thursday in the Bahamas. Back fusion. Heard an interview today. Playing with no pain. That'll be some interesting viewing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Pistons last night. They walk into Boston. They beat the Boston Celtics. Hats off to the Pistons. They're going in the right direction as well. Want to talk a little bit about the Ohio State University, the betting line in Las Vegas, by the way. It opened up at 6.5. The Buckeyes, favorites over Wisconsin. Of course, neutral site game in Indianapolis over the Wisconsin Badgers. Went all the way back down to 5.5. It's jumped back up to 7. Again, the Ohio State Buckeyes right now, a 7-point favorite over Wisconsin. I find that pretty surprising. Kings tonight taking on the Detroit Red Wings at the Joe Louis Arena. The Wings have not won in 4 games, but they have a point, of course, in 3 of those games for overtime losses. They are 3rd in the Atlantic Division if the season ended now. And I realize it's only, well, it's not even December the 1st yet. They are 3rd in the Atlantic, so they are hanging in there as well. University of Toledo Rockets basketball team tonight, they take on number 2 Kansas. The Rockets, by the way, started out 3-0. They've lost their last 2. Their last 11 games against top 25 teams, they have not won, and tonight they are a 25-point underdog. Just a quick reminder, everybody, again coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens up here on Route 50, I would say, 15 minutes west of Tecumseh. What a great holiday atmosphere they have up here. The holiday festival is Saturday, December the 2nd from 4 to 8. Musical entertainment, crafts for the children, 200 candle-lit luminaries throughout this beautiful property here as well. Evening of lights, and I'll be up here, believe me. Sunday, December the 3rd, Saturday the 9th, and Sunday the 10th. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens. Back with Brian Buckey, Toledo Blade beat writer for the Rockets, after this timeout.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Glad to have you on board. We're at Hidden Lake Gardens up here, Monroe Road, which is on 50, just west of Tecumseh. A lot of things going on up here. Holiday festival coming up on Saturday, December the 2nd. Evening of lights, by the way, on December 3rd, the 9th, and the 10th. Also, a quick reminder up at MIS, night lights at MIS. Now, that's through December the 30th, 5:30 to 9, Sunday through Thursday, 5:30 to 10, Friday and Saturday. So get into the holiday season, everybody. Really, spent a lot of time here today. Festive mood, great grounds, Michigan State University property and management, by the way. Paul Pfeiffer, thanks for his hospitality today, along with Justin Gifford. Visit Lenaway. Joining us now, beat writer, University of Toledo Rockets, Brian Buckey joins us. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. I mean, I guess the first question here, and I read your story today and been following, of course, the matchup and had the preview up on a couple of websites today. I mean, I understand that Akron's got a new quarterback here in Cato Nelson. I mean, first thing I think of is Cato Kalen or Cato from the Green Hornet or Cato Fong from, of course, the Peter Sellers movie. Anybody named Cato, it kind of scares me a little bit. So I would imagine there's some room for a little distrust there in what Akron's doing. But the Rockets a big favorite. How's Akron to stay competitive in this game? I'm guessing Cato Nelson would be part of that. But listen, I think Toledo would have to have a I'll put it this way, have to have a stinker to lose this one.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. I think it would have to be some sort of, you know, combination of some defensive plays. Maybe Acton gets a defensive touchdown somehow. Maybe they make a special teams play here and there, block a kick or something like that. But you would think if Toledo plays a good, solid game, and I mean, they don't really turn the ball over that much anyway. So it does seem like it could be a should be a win for Toledo, but that's why they play the game.
Yeah, no question about it. Terry Bowden's their coach, of course, son of Bobby Bowden, brother of Tommy Bowden. Read a little bit about him on the Akron football website today. He's had a long career. Tell me a little bit about him. I mean, I guess from a coaching standpoint, it's a team that's in pretty good hands.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done a good job with the team, especially, you know, this season. When he took over, the Akron's record was not good. It wasn't really even a desirable, you know, program to be the coach of, and he kind of took that on, and he's done a good job getting them to where they are, you know, this year. You know, 7-5, I believe 6-2 in the MAC, and they've been winning a lot of close games, making the right plays down the stretch, like he mentioned, and I think he's done a really good job with this team for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. 1993, and I know that's a long time ago. He was the SEC Coach of the Year with Auburn. Toledo, by the way, is as you mentioned, Akron 7-5. Toledo's 10-2, winning the MAC West with that 7-1 record. Akron 6-2. Rockets won the first game, 48-21. I like Jason Candle's comment about, you know what, for most people, that's a long, long time ago, especially for kids 18 to 21 or 22. Back in October seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, that's right. He said, you know, things change for 18 to 22-year-olds daily, weekly, all that. So, they don't seem to think that matchup has any bearing on what will happen on Saturday, that's for sure.
I want to ask you, have you heard anything? And listen, I know you're not writing a business column for the Wall Street Journal and the sports department here. I was looking over some of the crowds the past couple of years, you know, at the MAC championship game. They haven't been great. Have you heard anything on tickets, and what do you expect to see Brian Bucky come Saturday at noon?
I haven't seen anything as far as ticket sales and how that's going, but I would think there would be a good, you know, Toledo showing, just 45 minutes to an hour away from Detroit. You'd think they'd be able to get some good crowd support. I know last year Western Michigan kind of descended on Detroit a little bit and had a really good showing there to support a good Western Michigan team. And I think this year, maybe not to that extent that Western did, but I would think Toledo would have a good showing.
Brian Bucky joins us. Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Rockets fifth nationally in passing. Brian, tell me a little bit, if you could, what have you heard about Akron's secondary?
I haven't heard too much. I know in the first game, Logan Woodside had like 305 yards or so and 5 touchdowns. So I think that's something they can look to exploit for sure this game. They didn't offer too much resistance the first time around, and I think that's something Toledo always wants to be balanced on offense with the run game, kind of setting up the pass. But I think this is a game where they can take advantage of Woodside's arm and get the ball out to guys like Deontay Johnson, John Day Johnson, and some of those guys.
Brian Bucky joins us here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens, where the holiday festival's coming up Saturday, September the 2nd. Hey, 7 teams, Brian, in the MAC are bowl eligible. Toledo and Ohio U, Northern Illinois, Central, Akron, of course, Western Michigan, and Buffalo. If Toledo is to win this game on Saturday, where do you think and what have you heard? I was looking at some of the bowl projection websites last night. Where do you think they'll go?
I think there's a good chance they might end up at the Dollar General Bowl down in Mobile. I know that's been kind of linked with them for a little bit. I just saw a projection today that had them at the Dollar General Bowl against Appalachian State, which obviously is a rematch of last year's Camellia Bowl that Appalachian State won. So if I had to guess, I'd probably say the Dollar General Bowl.
11-9, Toledo leads the series, by the way. Under Bowden, the Terry Bowden Akron lifetime is 31-42. Toledo won the MAC championship in 2004. Akron won it in 2005. Akron, by the way, started the year with a 52-0 loss, Penn State. But steadily, as the year came on, got better and better and better. And I thought Terry Bowden's comments today, Brian, that I read in one of the Akron newspapers was, you know what, the thing we have to change is we can't play coming from behind, being behind early in this game and trying to play catch-up, which really has become a little bit of a solid portion of Toledo's game is early strikes.
Yeah, for sure. In that first game, I think Coach Bowden had mentioned, right away he felt like it was already 21-0, and Toledo had three first-quarter scorers, got up 21 points, and from there they weren't able to kind of play their game, and they need to be within striking distance, into the second half, maybe in the fourth quarter, and then if they get there and the game's still close, they feel like they have a shot to make the right plays necessary to maybe, steal a win.
Brian, anything I missed here, anything you're going to be writing about maybe the rest of the week we could preview a little bit? What are you concentrating on for with your stories and your work and anything you can share with us?
Yeah, I think later in the week I'm going to have a look back at the 2004 MAC title game, which is the last time Toledo's been there. So I'll try to talk to some of those players and maybe Coach Amstutz and do kind of a look back at that game, which was just from kind of looking into it a little bit. It was a pretty crazy game, and Bruce Gradkowski was a little banged up and kind of played through a lot of pain. So it'll make for a pretty interesting story. So I'll have that coming up.
Good stuff. All right, Brian, listen, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And we'll be reading the rest of the week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Brian Buckey, Toledo Blade beat writer, covering the University of Toledo Rockets. Are at Ford Field on Saturday, playing for the Mid-American Conference Championship against Akron. Again, my name is Mike Miller, coming to you from Hidden Lake Gardens. Quick reminder, everybody, Saturday, December the 2nd, 4 to 8, the Holiday Festival up here. Come on out. Musical entertainment. Kids get a visit with Santa. Gift shop items for all you nature lovers. What a tremendous, tremendous facility. We'll be talking to the managing director, Paul Pfeiffer, here about 5:45 tonight. Also, the Evening of Lights up here again at Hidden Lake Gardens. That's on December the 3rd, the 9th, and the 10th, a Saturday, and a Sunday. It is affordable. Come on up and see us. Spent the day up here. What a wonderful, wonderful. Listen, I love the Irish Hills area. And listen, if you're looking for something to do this holiday season, Paul will fill us in a little bit more as well. MIS, by the way, has night lights through December the 30th. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. My name's Mike Miller. This is Drive Time, ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. More Michigan football after this timeout.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Hidden Lake Gardens. Again, thanks for the hospitality, Paul Pfeiffer, and also our good friend Justin Gifford and Chris here. Very festive atmosphere here, of course, a little bit of a satellite campus, I guess I'll call it for that, for Michigan State University. I don't see Mark D'Antonio walking around here, but certainly has had success over the University of Michigan over the last couple of years. Special thanks to Brian Buckey, Toledo Rockets, of course, taking on Akron Saturday, Ford Field in Detroit. That's for the MAC championship. Name of the book is Michigan Man, Jim Harbaugh, and the Rebirth of Wolverine Football, author. Angelique Shingelis joins us now. Last time I contacted her, she said she sounded too much like Brady Hope, battling a little bit of a cold and a virus. So I'm guessing you're feeling better, Angelique.
I am. I think it's called No Heat in the Wisconsin Press Box. I think that's what did me in. And I did. The day after that game when I got home, I called my office and I had no voice left. And my boss kept saying, you sound like Brady Hope. Start saying, like, this is Michigan, for God's sake. So I kept doing it. And they were all entertained. So they made fun of my lack of a voice. But it's back.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better anyways. Hey, listen, if you're doing this a couple of years from now, and I am as well, do you think we'll be talking about, listen, I'm not an alarmist, but you hear things. There's rumors out there. Number one, do you think that we'll be talking about Jim Harbaugh as the coach at University of Michigan?
I do. I mean, in a couple of years, yeah, Mike. I mean, I think that he is determined to turn this around at his alma mater. Now, I've never been one of those who said he's a lifer, and I know there was a report last week from Brady Quinn saying he heard from someone who's kind of an insider that they're working on a lifetime contract. From what I understand, that's not true. I mean, the idea is actually a good one. There are people who like that idea, but I mean, I don't know that Jim Harbaugh hasn't, you know, I think that he has maybe some unfinished business in the NFL, but I don't think that's on top of his priority list right now. I think Michigan is, and I think that in a couple of years, hopefully, we will both be talking like this, and I do think he will be the head coach.
You know what, Angelique, from an author standpoint, tell me about an 8-4 campaign going into the bowl. I don't know if this is your first book or you've done other books, but out of my own curiosity here, a team's performance in a book like yours, do you see any correlation there between book sales or fewer book sales?
Well, I think because of that, I haven't even looked because I don't want to know, Mike, because I really would. I think it would probably have some impact. I mean, people want to be in a good mood and they want to buy books about the program they love, and I can't imagine that they're in a very cheerful mood after losing to Ohio State again. However, that said, I think that there are a lot of rational Michigan fans who understand that there was a lot of youth on this team. There were a lot of injuries to quarterbacks, and you know, I think that there are games you look back and you question the coaching staff too and the play calling. So there are a number of things that really added up to an 8-4 season, and will it affect sales? Probably. But what can I do about it? You know, I certainly didn't ask Jim Harbaugh to win all his games so I could sell more books, but that would have been nice.
No, I just, a curious question here.
I'm curious too,
today.
But I'm afraid to look.
Yeah, I listen, that's a good answer, and I'd probably be afraid to look as well. Again, Angelique Shingelis joins us here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Buckeyes, home of the Detroit Lions, and, of course, we have a station, Nash Icon, that covers the university and carries the University of Michigan. Wilton Spate, tell me a little bit about that. Were you surprised? And anything that we haven't read, Angelique, that we should know about?
No, not surprised. I'm not at all, Mike. I mean, I started getting some indications last week that was probably the decision he would make, and I think he's really comfortable with it. I think that, you know, he is shopping around now for a program, and got some people reached out to him as soon as he made the announcement on social media Sunday night. And, you know, his parents are good with this decision. And, you know, I think people read into, he did an interview with a local Channel 7, the local ABC affiliate here. And you know, he did say that at the end of the season banquet last year, Harbaugh did get up and say, I think that he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And he did win the job, but I think that, you know, Wilton also said, you know, but there I am in camp splitting reps. So I think a lot of people read into that and say, well, he didn't want to compete again. And, you know, I think he was saying, no, I've done it. I've competed. I've shown that I can go through competition and win the job. And I just think that there's part of him, too, that understands that Brandon Peters and Dylan McCaffrey are kind of the future now, and then Brandon Peters certainly has stepped into the starting job until he had the concussion at Wisconsin. He looked like he was definitely starting to feel that confidence that a starter gets the more he plays. And But no, I was not surprised, but I think that it's a good move for Wilton, and he will, in the next probably 3 or 4 weeks, finally settle on a destination.
Angelique Gingellis joins us here on Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. She comes to us on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Ingredients You Can Trust. I'm coming to you tonight from Hidden Lake Gardens, just west of Tecumseh. Holiday Festival, of course, on Saturday, December the 2nd. You know, it was pretty apparent, I think, and I love the Big Ten Network, and they're able to replay the game, you know, about 55 mm-hmm. minutes the next day. I was able to kind of watch it again without a festive crowd at my daughter's house and, you know, having a good time and not really paying attention. It's great, but it was apparent to me, really, if you want to get right down to it, it's things you've written about and people have talked about. Here you have a fifth-year senior, John O'Korn, and believe me, felt bad for the kid. It didn't turn out mm-hmm. better. But on the other side of the coin, you got a red-shirt freshman and a Dwayne Haskins that comes in here and did everything yep. and more you wanted him to do. So that, to me, was a pretty good barometer what's going on with the most important position on the field in college football, and that's quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. Haskins was unbelievable. I mean, and you know, everybody jokes, well, gosh, I mean, it's like Ohio State doesn't miss a beat. They've got backup quarterbacks who can come in and take over and be poised and lead touchdown drives. And we've seen it year after year, it seems like. And Michigan was in an unfortunate situation. I mean, lost Wilton State, lost two quarterbacks, had to go to the hospital this year. And that's tough to overcome. And John O'Korn, I mean, I think that people really respect, you know, who he is and how hard he works, but, you know, he was the third string quarterback. And he just, people can say, well, Cardale Jones was too a couple of years ago, and look what he did. But, yeah, I mean, John just didn't, I don't know how to say it. He just didn't have it. And I thought the game plan was really good. I thought that they really put him in very good positions to succeed. He overthrew quite a few. I know you saw that in your 60 minute rewind, Mike, and there were a lot of receivers he missed, and I do think that it could have changed the outcome of this game. But, you know, I think everybody's now like, gosh, if Brandon Peters had been in there, this could have been a very different game. But it was John O'Korn, and he tried his hardest, and he's moving on. He's done with his career at Michigan, his college career now.
We'll keep a close eye on this, but I told somebody else as well that, listen, Ohio State's going to keep moving forward. So is Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So is Penn State. And mm-hmm. he's got to solve Michigan State as we come to you again from Hidden Lake Gardens here, which is a Michigan State University property as well. So as much as you want to talk about the great things that Harbaugh and the Michigan program's doing, bringing in players, there's other Big Ten teams that are doing the same thing, getting better as well. So it's not going to get any easier. And the other number, too, of course, we know the rivalry number. We've been reading that for about 4 or 5 months to nauseam. But the other one that stands out to me is 1-7 against games that Michigan has played under Jim Harbaugh against teams that are ranked in the top 10. That's got to change. They got to start winning some games against good competition. I went through their schedule here the last 3 or 4 years. They're beating teams they should beat. There's no mm-hmm. question about that. But they got to start knocking off some of the big dogs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think that they're kicking themselves. I know you're at a Michigan State facility right now, Mike, but I think they're kicking themselves for that game. I think that they realize now, I mean, I think not just they've just realized it, but they do realize now, looking back, that play calling was a big issue in that second half and putting John O'Korn in some very difficult situations in that monsoon. They're kicking themselves for that game. I think they felt like they should have won that one at home. And, you know, I think they look probably at Wisconsin and say if Brandon Peters doesn't get the concussion, they had a good chance of winning that one. So I think that there's a lot of, you know, shoulda, couldas and what ifs, and you can't do that. You've got to focus on getting better and bringing in more recruits and better recruits. And, I mean, you look at the All-Big Ten team that came out, the defensive team. I mean, Michigan was very well represented on that list today. And they had a couple, all three special teams players were honorable mention. So definitely we know that that's there on defense. But, and I say that with one caveat. I mean, this is a defense that has given up big plays. And we saw it against Ohio State last week, saw it in the Penn State game, saw it in the Michigan State game. So it's not a perfect defense, but there is talent there. And Jim Harbaugh has to win some of these games now going forward. And look at that schedule. I know you looked ahead. I mean, they open at Notre Dame, and they play at Michigan State and Ohio State. And you're right. It doesn't get any easier. The Big Ten East is brutal. And maybe they should start lobbying for, like, maybe Michigan State and Penn State moving to the West.
Well, I got to tell you, you're right. They're going to be tested again. And you know what? Wisconsin's going to the Big Ten championship game with a great defensive as well,
yes.
Angelique. But they got a quarterback who's playing very well as well. Anything I missed here? Name the book, of course, is Michigan Man, Jim Harbaugh, The Rebirth of a Wolverine Football. What bowl are they going to go to, do you think?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because Brett McMurphy, who is a college football insider, used to work for ESPN. He's extremely well-connected, Mike, and he said from his conversations, Michigan is a lock for the Outback Bowl, and I think part of that is predicated on Ohio State winning on Saturday, and maybe not, but I think all of us thought that they were destined for the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, and now he's saying that probably Iowa goes there and Michigan State goes to the Citrus Bowl. So, you know, a couple of New Year's Day bowl games for the in-state schools, if Brett's right, and he is really connected. So, you know, and I had been hearing some talk of the Outback Bowl possibility as well. It's the first time they would have played there since 2013, and, you know, the Bulls want to sell tickets, and, you know, they'd play probably South Carolina, 2-8-4 teams, not great, but... you know, it's a matchup that they had in 2012, 13 also. So
it
does look
like
it's possible. Yeah, I like it too. I mean, the Big Ten does have a say in where their teams go, and it's the only conference that does. And I think if Michigan has any say, I don't think they want to go play a team like Stanford. That's my gut feeling. They want to go play a team that's, I think we can all say, superior at this stage. So this is probably a better matchup for them if this one transpires.
Angelique, thanks as always. Great hearing your voice. I'm glad you got it back. Somewhere down the road, we'll call on you again. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much, Mike. Happy holidays going forward here.
Have happy holidays to you. That's Angelique Shingelis, beat writer, Detroit News, University of Michigan, as we come to you from a Michigan State University property, the beautiful Hidden Lake Gardens. Back with their managing director, Paul Pfeiffer, after this timeout.